and welcome to my hearth. In today's episode, I wanted to start thinking about some of the special qualities that add detail and texture to a narrative. And today, I wanted to look at the classic element, the bit that doesn't fit. Yes, that's what I said, the bit that doesn't fit. This is a surprising detail which adds texture to a character and which can tend to surprise us. It may be small, but it adds a depth of detail that makes the person more human. The example that I always like to give is that of a very difficult teacher. Perhaps she's a slightly older lady, and she's very grumpy, and she's not very good with people. She's rather over-strict and very pernickety. But surprisingly, she wears a very pretty little butterfly brooch on her two-piece suit. When you find out that she was given the brooch by her fiancé, who went away to a war and didn't return, then you start to understand so much more about her, not just her personality, but also her behaviour. It's a very small detail, but it adds a lot of information, and it makes the person more believable and more human. When we are telling a story, it's these little details that make it more real and resonant. And sometimes the bit that doesn't fit not only surprises us, but can shock us. I've never forgotten that recently they found some cinema footage, some home movies, of the Second World War, including some footage of Hitler playing with his dog and also with his nephews and laughing. His love of animals and his humanity in playing with his nephews was the bit that didn't fit. It made his monstrous actions during the Second World War even more difficult to deal with, knowing that underneath it all there was a human being there. We can deal with a monster if they're a monster, but if they're a human in disguise, it makes it very difficult. I am particularly fond of the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. I find it fascinating and intriguing, as well as soothing and beautiful. The fact that the character Hannibal Lecter also likes Bach, I find shocking and quite difficult to deal with, but makes him very believable. It underlines the fact that given the right circumstances, we are all capable of great evil, but also capable of great good. The eccentricities of a character are what make them special, and in fact can often define them. If I say to you, deerstalker hat, meerschaum pipe, and violin playing, you immediately think of Sherlock Holmes. In fact, these are often used as symbols for him. They're his iconography, as is also his paraphernalia of drug-taking and opium-smoking. They help to make him unique. Writers have made their detectives lovers of classical music, poets, award-winning painters, and it's these things that we remember. It's these things that make the person human. I'm going to talk over the next few episodes about how the faults in our character define us and make us more real than our virtues. But today I want to stick just to the bit that doesn't fit, the eccentricity. If I asked you, what's the most unusual thing about you, I'm not certain that we could all do it, but if you ask one of your friends what they find the most eccentric thing about you, I am sure that they could tell you. If you are writing the biography of a character, you always have to include his foibles and his niceties. I've just watched an episode of Gardener's World, one of my favourite television programmes, partly because of the incredible depth and detail you get and understand about people when you see what their gardens are like. The old verse that used to be on little tablets in people's gardens about one is nearer to God in the garden than anywhere else on earth. You could also say one is nearer to the truth of the person than when you are in their garden. In this particular episode of Gardener's World, there was the most delightful and wonderful married couple. She was very into butterflies, and he was very into moths, and the difference between them was extraordinary and a writer's dream. The wonderful bit of eccentricity on his part was that when he was looking after caterpillars, if they weren't able to be left, he took them on holiday with him. And I'm sure it's that detail that everybody watching the programme will remember. Her detail was how beautiful her garden was because she'd filled it with plants that butterflies would be able to feast on. I hope that in listening to these podcasts, you get interested in telling your own story in whichever way you would like to do it. But I think it's important that you also record in some way the stories of those nearest and dearest to you. I was very fortunate in that I was commissioned to write a play which had as its central character a character based on my mum. And at that time she was still alive, and I got her to make a recording about certain parts of her life. I interviewed her and taped it. Now, with modern phones that can record things and all sorts of other ways of doing digital recordings, you could interview your nearest and dearest, and don't wait. When somebody dies, we lose that person, but we also lose all of that person's stories and the stories they know about the family that went before. I'm so glad I taped my mum, not only because of what she said, but also how she said it. The story is told in her voice. Not only that, for part of the time, she was doing the ironing, and it gave the storytelling a uniqueness because of the rhythm that was connected to the way she was ironing. It was her unique ironing as part of the story. I'm glad to say that there are some remarkable examples of early vocal recordings where you can hear some of the most famous people of all time speaking, and some of them have great eccentricity in their voices. H.G. Wells had been in the First World War and he'd been gassed, and his voice bore the hallmarks of the damage from that. And so the person that wrote War of the Worlds, when you hear him speaking, it doesn't quite add up, but it's fascinating. So if you get a chance, record your loved ones. If nothing else, interview them and get as many of their stories as you possibly can. My maternal grandma was very old when she died. She was in her 90s. She had been born 20 years before Queen Victoria died, and therefore was brought up as a child in a time where everyone moved around with horse and carts and lived in a very rural age. However, by the time she died, she had seen someone walk on the moon, and she'd seen the invention of all the mechanical and scientific devices of the 20th century. Not only that, she'd lived through two world wars, and it was fascinating to talk to her. More of her in another episode. I just want to give another really strong example of eccentricity, in other words, the bit that doesn't fit, from my own family. And I should say, it's difficult in my family in particular not to mention eccentricity. I've always said to people, you do need to understand that however odd you find me, I'm probably one of the most normal people in my family. They were a collection of extraordinary people. As these podcasts continue, I'm going to tell you more about them. But for today, I just want to deal with one person. My knowledge of him came about because I found a photograph of him. It was a photograph of a gentleman wearing a very smart corduroy suit from the beginning of the last century. And I thought, this is possibly the photograph of an artist or a musician or a writer or even an actor. Perhaps that's where I've got it from. He had a poise and an elegance and a character that shone through the photograph. The corduroy suit was very well tailored, and the character in it was carrying a glove, just as a gentleman would do it at that particular time. To my surprise, my mum told me that it was her grandfather in the picture, my great-grandfather, who had been a pitman, a miner, who in his eccentric elegance walked every day to the pit wearing that particular outfit. And he was known in the pit village as the Count because of it. I was immediately fascinated by him and wanted to know more. Because the mines that they worked in, this is in Northumberland, a little pit village called Mickley, because the pits were drift mines and they didn't go down in cages, and they had to walk to the coal face, they very often took off all of their outer clothing when they got to the pit. And so, therefore, his marvellous suit kept him in wonderful condition. I wanted to know even more about him, and I shall tell you more about him in later episodes. But the elements of eccentricity are strong enough to be memorable. I don't know whether it's just the suit or his nickname. For me, it's the fact that he wore one glove and then carried the other glove in his hand as he walked along, making him seem much more akin to perhaps an Italian opera composer than an Irish miner going to a drift mine. So please make certain that you record as many eccentricities of your own family as you can, because that will always add a richness to the way that you talk about them. You will add to the quality of your storytelling. More of the eccentricities of my family as we go along.